Welcome back to another episode of United We Stand, Divided We Podcast. I'm Robert with in the U.S., and we have our co-host Lionel, who is in Canada. What's up, Lionel?
Hopefully all the good stuff. Oh, yeah, bumping into the mic again. Hopefully nothing but good stuff. I believe it or not, I'm just checking on my feed. And I wasn't going to say anything, but I might as well bring this up now because I just got a pop-up. I just want to make sure that there aren't going to be any technical difficulties. We did have technical difficulties last week. That's why there was not an episode that we could put together. There were unfortunately gaps in it. And video-wise, we could have edited it out, but audio, it would have just been terrible. So it wasn't worth the effort. So our apologies to you, but we'll get on with this week. And of course, this week, Robert, you want to let them know what we're going to start? Because right now I'm thinking...
So this week we're going to actually talk about the eclipse that's occurring, and actually Lionel is going to have a much better view. I won't have actually any of the totality in my area where I live, but that's okay because I got to see one back in 2017 and he didn't, so now it's flip-flopped and he's going to get to experience this one and I won't. But it's always an amazing experience.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you're not in the path. But you know what? You're within an hour and a half drive, are you not?
No, it's farther than that to really have any kind of real totality. I mean,
well, you want it to be more than 12 seconds, obviously. So I do.
and sliver, you know, there's no point in that. But
yeah,
no.
but I believe you are in at least 95%, so you can still enjoy. If you get the glasses, that is, if you still have them from last time, then you can still enjoy seeing the eclipse if it's like 95% or whatever, and you get some nice pictures as well.
I don't think I'm as close as you think we are.
Well, let me put it to you this way: Toronto is at least 20 minutes away from the path of totality and is at 99%. If I drive up to Barrie, that's actually another half an hour away with no traffic at all and is at 96%. I have to go another 100 miles further north to drop down to 90%. So,
yeah, I would have to drive... I would have to drive probably 2 to 3 hours just to get on the edge of the totality line.
Oh, okay. So you are a little further.
It's like way west from me. And then it kind of cuts up above Kentucky.
Yeah. And if you went dead straight, you would probably be 4 hours or five.
Yeah.
What's north of you? Is it Tennessee? Am I thinking wrong?
I'm in Tennessee. It's Kentucky.
That's not what I meant.
We should talk about geographics this time. We can learn the map together.
I'm in Kentucky. I was thinking of Louisville as you know what? Because we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And when Louisville versus Louisville, which as you pronounce it, it's funny. A lot of people would be thinking, oh, well, why is he pronouncing Louisville? It's Louisville. No, it's not. You've been there. You know what people call it. It's like people saying, oh, it's Toronto. No, it's not. It's Toronto. I mean, Toronto.
Yeah. Louisville.
Toronto. So Louisville. But for me, anyways.
Anything. I mean, I'm sure I'll have a nice sunny day and I won't even know anything's happening.
If you're not paying attention, no, yeah, you won't. But I'm just saying, if you still got the glasses and you want to take a peek, it'll still be interesting. But the interesting thing is, look down at the shadows. When it's at about 50%, when it's covering about 50%, check the shadows on the ground and they'll be crescent shaped. It's really cool.
It was amazing.
I totally forgot about that feature, not feature, phenomena.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was amazing.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the one you get to experience is actually going to be a longer period of totality than what we had. So you'll actually get, you know, a longer.
What did you have? In 17.
I think it was 7 or 8 minutes. I think you're getting like 12 minutes or something.
Seven or eight minutes. No. Listen, I'm pretty sure the world record is 7 or 8 minutes in recorded history.
I remember reading something, obviously. No.
You would have had somewhere in the 3 minute to 4 minute and change range. We have a longer one, yes. I'm pretty sure that's true, but I didn't know it was longer for everywhere. It depends on where you are and how close to the center of the path. I'm going to a place that's going to be almost close to dead center, but it's also towards, you know, getting way past the halfway point of North America by then. So it's going to be about 3 minutes and 50 seconds-ish if I get into that area. If I can't, I might have to settle for three and a half minutes or 3 minutes and 10 seconds or something like that in another location if I have to change because of weather or cloud cover.
Yeah, I don't know where I got the. There's so many articles floating around. I probably read something, you know.
Yeah, well, that happens. We're all guilty of it. So I don't know what your totality was, but if it was less, it was probably like 30 seconds to a minute less at the most.
It was long enough to really experience the whole thing in a pretty fantastic way. Right. I mean, it truly got dark. You know, crickets started chirping. I mean, the whole thing that they talk about, the little moon shapes on the ground. I mean, it was literally like the trippiest thing I ever experienced. And we actually had these shirts made up, and we have pictures of all the family. I'll have to send that to you when we're done, so you can see. It was really a cool experience. We had a bunch of family come over, and it was a cool time.
Well, I do have some advice for a lot of people out there. A lot of people are going to be thinking automatically right away. Let's say they live in a small town that's not far from the totality. They got to drive half an hour and a half. And they want to get into whatever town in Texas or whatever town in, whatever Kentucky, if it goes through Kentucky, I can't remember, or whatever state, right? And a lot of people will be like, okay, let's just go to this small town because it's a small town, not a big city. But everybody that is within 3 hours of the place, if it's close to the center of the totality, and not just in it, but literally close to the center where you get the longest amount, that's where everyone's going to be going. And tourist places are going to be horrible. Places that aren't tourist places are going to be bad too. I'm going to a place that's probably originally I thought was going to be good. It might not be. And I may have to change my plan at the last minute. So I'm going to have like 5 or 6 backup areas to go to, some of which I want to make sure I can get to within an hour. So if it's not going to work, I need to find a back road that I can get to, because highways will not be passable. A lot of people leave late and they don't get where they need to go. It's going to be crowded. Niagara Falls.
Yeah,
is going to be so bad, probably on both sides of the border, by the way. I haven't heard a lot about it from New York State, but from Ontario, Niagara Falls, Ontario, has already preemptively declared a state of emergency that is technically already in effect, so that they can actually jump into action at the drop of a hat without having to go to any more councils. They don't have to go to the province, because when a municipality declares a state of emergency, then that automatically means they can make one phone call and the province has to send somebody to help if necessary, because it's a state of emergency. And I'm pretty sure it's the same in most municipalities versus the state or the county in the U.S., I would assume, except it would be National Guard, if necessary, that would come to help. If necessary. I'm not talking about for defense, like being attacked, but I'm pretty sure National Guard would still come out to help for things like floods, right? Or crowd control if it's too big for local police forces, right? Which is fine. They do that here in Canada too. So they're going to be prepared. But the thing is they're expecting record-breaking crowds in Niagara Falls, which is scary. Because if you've ever been to Niagara Falls on a hot summer day in July, you will know that you cannot walk down the street. You have to wait sometimes 3 hours just to get next to the falls to take a picture. It's insane. I've never had
I haven't been. That's one of my places I want to go.
I'm sorry?
I said, I haven't been. That's one of my places I want to go.
Well, you keep delaying it. And I've told you like 1,000 times. Try to drive up, take a plane, whatever it is you feel like doing. I'll meet you at the damn border, the airport, or the train station, or whatever the hell mode of travel.
Yeah, we'll definitely make that trip sometime. Maybe me and my boys. I don't think my wife's too interested. She doesn't really care.
She doesn't want to see Niagara Falls. Really?
No, she doesn't really care.
You know what she's going to miss out on? The flying saucer. It's a restaurant. It is an iconic restaurant that's been around for decades. Every time I go to Niagara Falls, I have to go to the Flying Saucer, and I go once or twice a year. So it's just necessary. It's one of those things.
Oh, I did find
just a greasy spoon, by the way. it's not like special restaurant, but it's a tradition. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If you're dead center totality, you're going to have about 4 minutes, which is pretty long, they say it's twice as long as 2017. So 2017, if I remember correctly, it was a little over 2 minutes.
Oh, really? That was short.
Like two and a half minutes is what we had. But one thing I forgot about that's really cool is the minutes leading up to totality are pretty fantastic, because there's certain phases of as it starts to get blocked out, this eerie, gloomy, like Total Recall looking kind of glow that's going on.
Well, the glow comes after is the Bailey's beads, you might be thinking about, just before it goes into totality. And you still have to keep your glasses on for Bailey's beads, by the way, because even to someone, the thing is what happens is as the moon's crossing it, all of the craters are partially blocking that last sliver of sunlight, but that's a lot of craters. So each one of those craters is blocking a little bit, and then there's a little bit of sun and a little bit of blockage, a little bit of sun, and you get all these beads, and it looks like a pearl necklace or something. They call it, I'm not sure what Bailey is for. I should look that up. Bailey's beads. The interesting thing is when it goes out the other end, you never see that because it happens so bloody quickly. You don't actually get to see the Bailey bead thing, but what you do get is a diamond ring effect. So if it is really quick and there's a big thing of a bright ball of light on the one side and then slightly on the ends of it, and it's still dark around, and you still can see the corona in part of it, even with that. So it kind of looks like a diamond ring, but that only lasts for about a half a second before it gets too bright and overpowers it. And you absolutely, at the first sign of that happening, you can't look at it and go, oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. Now I'll put my glasses on. It's got to be, oh, here it comes. And you get your glasses on immediately. You'll also see it better with your glasses on at that point. You won't see it at all with your glasses off because you won't be able to look at it.
Right. What I'm referring to is as it begins to start coming across the sun, you get this weird, when I say glow, I don't mean glow. I mean, like, it's kind of that dusky, you know, like the sun's setting, but it's not really setting.
Oh, I see.
Kind of really weird, like
the sun itself. You're talking about the atmosphere.
It's just it's just weird, like glow to it. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, it starts to get about 90% full, and it starts to be like a little twilighty. But the interesting thing is that it's still brighter than you see at twilight, which is odd. But everything does change. So right around that point, when it starts to get around 95-ish% and you still have to be wearing glasses and it's still technically light, but it's getting darker, but it's not dark yet. They say now if you wear green, what is it? Green and red, I think, like Christmas colors, basically, then the red looks darker and more, but pops more, and green stands out much, much more so than things like gray or lighter shades of whatever, because your eyes don't see the proper colors. I think it's like blues or something don't show up in the dark. So
yeah, so you get some of those old school 3D glasses you used to look at the TV with.
I don't think so. You go blind pretty quick. So, anywho, state of emergency, Niagara Falls. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that's a good idea, given that that on a regular day, and again, you haven't been there, but I tell you, I've done this every year. In the last 5 years, I have not been able to park my car in the parking lot I would normally go to. It's just not possible. First of all, the few parking lots you can get into They're unbelievably expensive. Like yeah. People are going there to be there all day, and they're being told it's $30 an hour.
Wow, an hour.
These are not event parking lots. These are just parking lots for people to walk around the falls. And they're nowhere near the falls. And $25, $30 an hour. It's ridiculous. There are parking lots that cost a little less, and there's other options too. You can park further and take a bus or walk. There are some areas where I would prefer to park, where one where it has like metered parking, because it's a park. It's still not super cheap, but you know, $25 for the entire day or something like that. And if you go to Niagara Falls, that's a drop in the bucket, because you're going to spend money. You've gone on a trip, right? Even if it's a day trip, I'd be happy to spend $25 to park all day at Niagara Falls and then just be able to walk around all day. So there is a place that's relatively close to the falls that I discovered last year. And so I would go there and I would park there. It's a little further than the falls. Like if you're going to try to go past it and head to Buffalo, but you're still in Niagara Falls and then you just walk back and it's not very far, quarter of a mile. You can check out the falls, and then there's quite a long walk along the falls and stuff to see inside, down below, behind the falls, all that kind of stuff, and then all the tourist attractions and that they have there in the what is Skylon Tower or whatever it's called, stuff like that, and all the casinos. If you're into casinos, there's two things: people who are used to big, huge casinos and have gone to places like Vegas and Reno and whatever else, right? They might first say, well, this is nothing like Vegas. But anybody who's been to casinos anywhere else will say, this is maybe not be the biggest thing I've ever seen, but these are nice. And they are. And they're not tiny. They're actually...
Oh, I've been to some tiny casinos. Really, and inside a casino is a casino, really. I mean, some are bigger, but it's all the same.
I've never understood why some people would actually complain about a casino being too small when it's got 700 slot machines, 250 blackjack tables. And honestly, any casino that has a high roller room, can't be doing all that bad. Like the high roller room that you have to have credentials to get into.
I've never gone into one of those rooms. I don't have deep enough pockets for high roller rooms.
does this look like a Stanley to you?
Yeah, that's your status
symbol now. Stanley.
I got mine from Target. I got a Target Stanley. That's even more elite.
I didn't even get this from Walmart. I think this is a dollar store.
That's funny.
This is like three.
Yeah, months. I don't really, I don't understand the, I mean, I guess I kind of understand the state of emergency thing, but I remember when it happened here. And again, my house was literally almost dead center totality. So, I mean, we were like right in the middle of the line. And I don't remember the state of Tennessee issuing any kind of state of emergency. I do remember obviously them saying, hey, look, there's gonna be a lot more traffic. You know, like hotels were booked up for like months in advance. And so there was a lot more people for sure, but it wasn't like super crazy happened. So I guess I don't understand the
state of emergency, but there's a number of reasons why that is true though. One of them is pretty obvious in that it was, almost cut in half by the amount of time this one is going to be. So the less time it is, the less people are willing to travel further for it. When they hear this is going to be the longest one they're going to see, and we're not going to see another one for 100 years or whatever.
2045, I think.
Not here. It's going to be in only one part.
I think they said that the next one in the States is 2045.
Not clear across. It's going to go across a popular.
I don't know about that, but
it is going to go across the eastern part of the States. It's going to be popular, a popular path. Absolutely. But it's not going to be for very long. It's really only the eastern seaboard. As far as I can remember, that's what I saw on the map. I may be thinking about the wrong one, but I'm pretty sure that was it. Don't get me wrong. If I had the money, I think I might like to go because I think I'm pretty sure you'll be able to see up from Myrtle Beach. I've never been. So I wouldn't mind. As long as it's not spring break. I ain't going to spring break. Do I? Do I look 22 to you? No.
Sean gone wild.
Okay. So anyways, I was just thinking, though, I could imagine that there might be some places in the U.S. that might actually consider the idea of a state of emergency as well. And I would think, first of all, Niagara Falls, New York would be the first place to think of it, because there's a lot of people that are going to try to cross the border into Canada because they like the view better on the Canadian side, and they're going to get stuck on the freaking bridge. You know? I mean, I could actually see the lineup being ridiculously long going both ways, by the way, going both ways, and getting clogged up to the point where there'll be people on the bridge waiting to get across.
Well, if you want to take a trip to Spain or Greenland, you can catch one in 2026.
Greenland. That's a bucket list place, man. I would love to go to Greenland with a Nikon Z8. Yes, I said Z, not Z.
And a
180 to 600 millimeter lens, and take pictures of puffins and stuff like that. You know what a puffin is, right?
A puffin?
A puffin.
No,
it's a funny looking. We'll leave it at that. It's a funny looking bird. Maybe I'll put the bird right here, and you can see it later. I got to remember what the timestamp on that, 21 minutes and some seconds. Okay. Anyways. All right. So Texas, I was thinking, we talked about this before we got on the air here. I don't know if any place in Texas would, because Texas is used to large crowds. Like, there's like lots of big urban centers there, and they have more of than just like a one city infrastructure. And a lot of small towns. So when it goes through Texas, it's a big state, and it's going pretty much from one end of Texas to the other. So there's a lot of places in Texas that people can go. So I don't think they're ever going to have to consider that, because there's so much space for them to go in there. And I think when you start getting into some of the tighter states, the ones where they barely skirt them, and there's like one bigger city and a whole bunch of small towns, they're dead center in the middle of it, that those are the ones you have to worry about it, because all of the interstates are going to go right through there. And I'm like, oh no, this is where everybody's coming from and where everybody's going to.
So this is interesting. Not to change your subject, but the next solar eclipse after this one is actually in 2033, but only Alaska is going to get totality. Then in 2044, totality will be confirmed to Western Canada, Montana, and North Dakota. And then there won't be another U.S. eclipse spanning coast to coast until 2045.
Oh, that is a coast to coast, the 2045 one then.
Yeah.
I thought that was an Eastern Seaboard one. Okay.
Well, not according to what this news...
I don't know what I was looking at.
Maine.com is.
I may have read the map wrong, because it basically had every single eclipse in the last 80 years and everyone for the next 200 years all on the same map. So with all these arrows pointing, I was probably looking at the wrong one.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yes, it's funny how they can know that so far in advance, you know? I mean, obviously, the rotation, the spin, I mean, all the stuff that happens universally is... known. I mean, it's a known equation, so I guess I can calculate it out. But
well, you know where I think
kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, where I think the biggest problems will be, honestly, are Niagara Falls, and anywhere near Niagara Falls. And unfortunately, I will be. But I think just about everywhere else, there's enough places to travel to, and enough room to travel around. Because it also misses a lot of major waterways until it hits the Great Lakes and skirts along the St. Lawrence and then jumps over it at Montreal and into Canada and then continues on. But up to that point, there's a lot of, I don't know, I guess Tornado Alley that follows for a while. in a northern tornado alley. And then it kind of gets along and it goes along the bottom part of Lake Erie, almost at the same angle as Lake Erie, which is kind of weird if you look at the map of it. Like almost the same shoreline going across it. So when I get to the eastern tip, right where Buffalo and Fort Erie meet, where the end of Lake Erie is and the Niagara River begins, is pretty much where Fort Erie is. So that's where I was planning to go, so I could get down as far down the lake as possible. But I'm thinking twice now, mainly because a lot of other people might be considering that same path. And most of them will be from Fort Erie. Not everybody's going to stay in their backyard. Some people are going to want to actually look out over the lake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of the idea I want. I want that view over the lake. I would have loved to have been able to do it in Niagara Falls, because if you get the right angle, the sun will actually be over the falls, depending on where you're standing. And the picture was insane, because you could take you could take several pictures and merge them together, so you would be able to see the falls and the eclipse. And that would be something else.
I really like those pictures that people do where they follow the eclipse, and so they have all these different shots, and they show it as it's arcing, you know, and it's totality, and then as it's pretty cool.
That was my original plan until my equipment went bye-bye. And now I've been using my Pixel 8 Pro, which I think will surprise some people about how good it'll be able to do. But
it's
very difficult for me to do that style, because I'll have to move the tripod manually, and then I'll have to actually adjust the angles of each one of the pictures and then merge them together. It's possible. I might give it a shot. I don't know. I might try. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm probably going to crop them all. So if I leave enough room for the cropping, it might make it easier to actually do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it'd be cool. It's possible. I'll be looking forward to seeing them. But hey, little side note, I don't know if you knew this, but my grandfather used to own a house on Lake Erie. His backyard the bay, and we used to just walk out the back door into his boat and go fishing.
Oh man. See, now here's the thing. You know, oddly, in all the years I've lived in this region of Canada, this is the only lake, and keep in mind, one of them is only available in the US, and that's Lake Michigan. You cannot touch Lake Michigan without going into the United States of America. It does not go into Canada. It's the only one. But I have put my toe into every single Great Lake. And last year was the first time I actually dipped it into Lake Huron, by the way. It took a long time to get into that one, but I've still never actually stopped my car and put my toe into Lake Erie. And I've been close, but I've never been to it. I've seen it. I've driven down a country road. But I'm like, oh, it's late. It's going. I got to go home. And this is somebody's yard. I can't stop here. But
he lived in Ohio, so I'll never forget it. Every time we go visit him, I'll never forget it, because we used to pass by, I think it was called Cedar Point Amusement Park.
There's a Cedar Point. It's still there, actually.
I don't know, but you'd have to pass by that, and then he lived down this peninsula. And there's only one way in, one way out. And we used to have a great time.
So I think I know where you're talking about. I'm getting kind of familiar with the way Lake Erie looks on the map, just because there's a lot of places around there I haven't seen. Like, there's a peninsula on the Canadian side that is insanely long. Like, you're probably talking half an hour, 45 minutes worth of driving once you get on it to get to the tip. If you can even drive to the end, I don't know if you can drive all the way to the end. I think you know you go a certain by distance and then have to walk the last couple of miles or something. But I've always wanted to go there. And that, honestly, that would be the absolute perfect place, because it would be within, I think about, it would be within 10 miles of the center of the path of totality, meaning you would get about 3 minutes and 80 seconds.
And to answer your question, Cedar Point does still exist.
3 minutes and 50 seconds or something like that, right? Close to 4 minutes. And it would be an awesome place to see it. And also it would get pitch black because you're in the middle of the lake. There's no city lights anywhere.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of a lake that's just, it looks like an ocean. And I mean, I live almost on the shore of Lake Ontario, and it's massive, but it is by far the smallest of the Great Lakes. It's to put that into perspective. It's by far the smallest one. You can't see across it except on the sunniest of days. If you're on slightly higher ground on a really sunny day, you might be able to see across it. Like, for instance, on the southern side, you can see Toronto because tall buildings. But there's no way I can see the southern shore from Toronto unless I'm up in a high building. But yet it's the smallest Great Lake. So, yeah, no, anyways, it's really before.
I'm looking at the map, and I see that, you know, you'd have to go down to get to it down this Cedar Point Road. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where his house was, but I just remember we used to always go by that. But yeah, we used to have a good time. It was always a lot of fun. It was crazy.
Where'd you say he lived?
By Cedar Point, Ohio.
Cedar Point, Ohio. Oh, actually, I can't find where it says Cedar Point, Ohio. But I'm guessing.
Well, it's by Cedar.
I'm going to guess it's near African Safari Wildlife Park. Because that looks like a peninsula and there's a bunch of islands. It could be a different peninsula you're talking about, though. I don't know. But that's a huge peninsula. It's not far from Toledo.
Yeah, I have some really fond memories of there. One time we got caught out on the lake. We were in his canoe, and his canoe did have a motor in case, you know, we didn't want to paddle anymore. But we got stuck out on the lake and a storm brewed up, and man, the lake gets treacherous in the storm.
Yes.
Yeah. I never forget that. It was kind of hairy getting back to the.
Did I never share any storm pictures from Lake Ontario?
Not that I recall.
I thought I did from a few years ago. It was a really windy day, and there were deck chairs, what we call Muskoka chairs, I think, and they're very similar to, what do they call them? Adirondack chairs, I believe, in the States. Are you familiar with that?
Sandusky. Sorry. The name of the city just came. Sandusky, Ohio, is where he lived. That's where Cedar Point Park.
So that's where I was thinking. That's I was correct, because Sandusky Bay. So I'm assuming it's over here. I'm gonna get sidetracked here. I'm about to ask now: is African Safari Wildlife Park probably better than African Lion Safari in Ontario? It's amazing how the coldest parts of U.S. and going into Canada are the two most popular places for lions. What is that about? It doesn't make any sense to me. These places should be in Southern California and shit like that, right? Anyways, sorry, where was I? What were we talking about now?
We're how about we got sidetracked on Sandusky and, you know, we were talking about, you know, how my trip, you know, that I took when we got stuck out of the lake and whatnot. But yeah, it's just fond memories. But, you know, it's, you know, back to, you know, the whole total eclipse thing. One thing I wanted to mention is that sometimes people are just so capitalistic, I'll say, that it's kind of irritating. And there's an article I read about this travel agency that booked this trip for this company, 250 people, and the hotel they booked at, or the whatever they booked at, decided to just suddenly cancel all their reservations. The guy lost like $30,000 because now to rebook it, he's paying like $200 more per room.
Well, hats off to the guy, because he actually said, I can't pass that on to my customers. A lot of places would have just, you know, taken the loss and then left their customers high and dry, you know, maybe even closed down the business and opened up under a different name, a numbered name after later.
This guy decided you made to take a commitment to these people and you're just going to randomly cancel their reservation make more money. Listen, I mean, I get
this. Is apparently it's not just him. Apparently, there are a lot of hotels in a lot of places, and some people may be saying, I have no evidence of this yet, but it's possible that a few places in both sides of Niagara Falls have also been guilty of doing the same thing. Some of them more reputable hotels, and some of them less reputable motels. Because I don't know how many motels there are on the American side.
A lot.
On the Canadian side, motels are as popular in Niagara Falls today as they were in 1978 Midwest America.
Yeah.
It's incredibly insane. They look like the same damn buildings that you and your dad drove to on a weekend, you know, in 1981 or something like that, right? They're incredible. They still have that same weird blue pastel looking paint on the sides and stuff like that. You remember the motels, pastel looking colors?
Oh gosh. Yeah, I remember some motels. All right.
You know, you laugh at motels all you want, as long as there were no roaches and the sheets weren't dirty. I was fine with it. I didn't care. You knew what you were getting. It cost you very little money. You walk in there at 2:30 in the morning, get a room, leave at noon, and Bob's your uncle. You're fine.
I've stayed in many.
So, motels have saved my life on the road lots of times, driving all the way from Toronto to, or Montreal even, to Winnipeg. It's a long drive. And I've done it twice without stopping. But I've also done it several times knowing that that was a stupid idea and stopping for the night. And you know, it's weird. You wake up in a motel on the side of the road in an area that, while you're driving at whatever breakneck speeds, doesn't look that interesting to you. But when you get up in the morning, you realize there's like 9 deer 10 feet from where you in your car, and all these birds that you would normally never see. And it's like, I'm in nature, man. That is so cool. And it can be anywhere. You could be in the middle of the desert, somewhere in Arizona, and see things that you've never seen before if you're not from there, or in northwestern Ontario, or the middle of Alberta. It just doesn't matter. It's pretty cool. It's like driving through Ontario. Every time I've driven from one end of Ontario to the other, east to west, west to east, I always forget that while they're not Rocky Mountains, they're not Adirondacks, they are actually mountains. So when you get you get up to the top of one and you go down, and you start to notice as you get up that there are peaks in some of these. And I don't know, it's just the scenery is beautiful. And I don't know how I segued so far out of that, but I miss the driving vacations and going to drive as far as I have to drive to go see which is not that far. It's an hour and a half or maybe 2 hours tops, depending on how far I choose to go, to see the eclipse. And that's only because of traffic, by the way. It'd probably be an hour and 45 minutes tops if there was no traffic, but that's going to be, a nice trip for me, because I don't get to do that as often as I'd like to. And I miss being able to get away and do those drives out to God knows where. I mean, I used to leave Winnipeg and drive all the way to Toronto or Montreal or Ottawa or wherever, or Chicago. I did that once too. And, honestly, Winnipeg to Chicago is not the most scenic drive in the world. But as you pass through Minnesota, between Minnesota and Chicago, the land, although not exactly mountainous, is way nicer than Manitoba or North Dakota. Not as nice as South Dakota, probably, but it does get a little bit rolling hill-like. And then you cross over the Mississippi and everything. It's really nice, actually.
Yeah. I'll never forget. I've been into Canada one time, and we were up in Detroit, and we decided to cross a bridge in Detroit. And I cross the bridge and I'm like, oh, this is Canada. Looks just like over there. I didn't really go into any cities. I just drove a little while, turned around and went back.
if you come to Toronto, you have to look around to find an IHOP. There's a couple, right? But you go to Niagara Falls, it's just right over the bridge. There's like 9 IHOPs in walking distance from where you got out of your car. And you're like, which IHOP do you want to go to? I don't know which one's the closest. Don't go to the one in that. I don't know the name of the hotel, but it's a red brick building. Don't go to that one. Terrible service.
This is when you could cross the border with your driver's license. I didn't have a passport. I just showed my driver's license.
Oh, no, that's years ago. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's how long it's been.
There was a time where you didn't even need that, unless you were the one driving. They wouldn't even ask. Yeah. They would just say, where are you going? I'm going to Chicago. How long are you going to be there? I was thinking 2, maybe 3 days. Where are you staying? Motel. I haven't found it yet. We're just going to take the first free motel we can find. Plenty between the outside of the city and the inside of the city. Okay. You got anything to declare? Nope. All right. Have a nice trip. That's it. You're done.
Yeah.
You go. You come back. And the Canadian guy says, welcome back to Canada. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, I couldn't resist, though. Welcome back to Canada. You got anything to declare, bud? Nah, I ain't got nothing to declare, bud. All right, don't be a hoser, eh? Have a nice day.
For sure, eh?
For sure. Yeah, we're just going to get yourself a 2-4. You ain't got no 2-4s in your car now, do you? No, I don't got no 2-4s in my car.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. But yeah, that's my extent of my Canadian travels. It was just because I could say, oh, I was in Canada. That was really the whole reason for crossing the border.
Did you go anywhere? Or did you just turn around and go back?
I drove like an hour, maybe 30 minutes. I don't know. And then there was really like, I was too far away from anything significant to like go visit somewhere. So I just turned around and went back.
Well, and honestly, if you just decided to check out Windsor, you might have been okay. Like, go get something to eat or whatever, right? Or check something out. Get out and walk around, take a look. I said, there are parts of Windsor that are pretty nice. It's a nice looking town.
Is that the closest city from Detroit?
It's right across the river.
Oh, okay.
Like, I mean, it's not the only thing, because if you go further north to that other town, which is technically a suburb of Detroit, but it's further north, that's where they're building that other big bridge now, whatever the hell it's called. You know, the record breaking one. At least I think that's where they're doing it.
I don't know. I don't know what the name is. I should talk about.
Anyways, yeah, but at the time that would have either been the only bridge or the only one you would smartly go across. Because the other one, there would have been like nothing there for you to see. So but the bottom line is if you had kept driving and just decided, oh no, we're gonna go further in, you would have been driving for another 2.5 hours before you would have come across anything. And take you another 2.5 hours before you would have come across Cambridge. And at that time, Cambridge was like a one horse town that had like 7 people in a university. I mean, that was it. Like, that's funny. If you ever heard of the University of Cambridge, there's why. It's a university town. And then there's University of Waterloo. Guess where that one is? Yeah. Waterloo. Guess what city? Waterloo. Guess what city Waterloo is attached to?
What?
Cambridge. Oh. Cambridge, there's like 3 towns and they're all attached to each other and they're all of their own universities. So they're the Boston universities there, the Massachusetts universities.
Yeah.
Except that they're party ones. They're not where you go to become a doctor and a lawyer. I mean, well, you might. But it's, you know what I mean? People say they're not party universities because they do have good reputations for the most part. But the fact of the matter is they have record-breaking street parties every year. They have to show up and arrest people every year. And everyone
knows that's a lot of universities have that problem.
They say, oh, yeah, I'm from Cambridge or, yeah, I'm from Waterloo. And they're young. I say, so are you a student or were you a student last year? And they always say yes. And it's just like party all the time. And they have one of two ways they react to that. One is, well, I guess I did at the time, Or, yeah, of course, man. Or better yet, for sure, eh?
For sure, eh?
Get a two for
only,
right?
only hosers didn't party, eh?
That's right, eh? You're getting pretty good at that.
Me and Kenny practice every time we go to the hockey game. So,
oh, that's perfect. You gotta bring them up to Canada for a hockey game and sit in the stands. I'll record the whole thing so we can get like highlights of you guys chirping in yeah. Canadian accents at a Leafs game. That'd be hilarious. Well, the thing is, you'd be chirping against the Leafs in a Canadian accent. Yeah, the Leafs suck, eh? Boston's a much better team, but at least a bunch of hoosers.
Yeah, yeah. Hockey, eh?
Oh man, all right. I don't know how we got so far off the topic.
I don't know.
I need to mention before we run out of time about the going back to the eclipse thing, because it's kind of important. It's Monday. Monday's the eclipse. If you're planning to get out there to see it, drive to it, fly to it, walk to it, or you're in the area, just remember two things. One, do not look at the damn thing with your naked eye unless it's in totality. If you're not sure of it, whether it's in totality, ask the guy standing next to you who probably does know. There's a lot of things you can look up online, how to make a device out of a box that allows you to see without looking. You look in reverse of the sun. Tons. You can Google that. You can use AI to give you really good answers and directions. Just get it on Google YouTube. But most importantly, for those who absolutely have to see it and not a shadow of it, you have to get proper, eclipse glasses that are ISO rated. Yep. Robert, please. I don't remember the number.
It was 12312-2 or something like that.
The bottom line is some of them, there are is possible to see some that have a fake stamp. So do a little bit of research.
Yeah, but I mean, you can find them. All you got to do is look them up. I mean, there's so many people that sell them. You can get on Amazon.
That's my point. You still have to be careful. If there's two batches, like two places on Amazon, for instance, that one's selling them for $1.05 and the other one's selling them for $18 for a pack of three or something, make sure that the one that's trying to sell it to for $1.05 doesn't have a fake ISO or ISO, whatever you call it, number, because it's easy to just fake that and print it on there or put it on, because there are a few and you can end up going blind and it's not worth it. So most of them are legit. There are some that aren't, but they're also really hard to get this quick now. Some of them won't be delivered in time. So look it up. Don't forget, if you live in an area that is anywhere near the path of totality, it's likely you can probably go somewhere and find a pair for free. If there's an astronomical society, is that what they're called? Astronomical society?
I think so.
Astronomical societies will give out some for free. Some of them only to people who are going to where they're going. And if you sign up to go with them, other places, you go to some public parks, they will give out some for free. You could also call up friends, family, check with people online and say, does anybody have an extra pair? Because most people bought the, you know, packs of 10 or 20 or 5 or whatever and only needed 1, 2, or 3, and they're the cheap paper ones, but they work. Some people went all out and got the glasses, like the plastic rimmed. Still not great, but you know, a little bit more sturdy. And they cost about the same
money. Chamber of Commerce gave them out for a little while.
Well, yeah, there you go. See, and there are some places still are. Do not look at it with your naked eye unless it's in totality. This also goes for if you're going to use your DSLR, your mirrorless camera, or your phone camera. If you're planning on using your S23, 24 Ultra, your iPhone 14 or 15 Pro Max, your Google Pixel 7 Pro, 8 Pro, or whatever, don't hold it up like this to the sun and leave it there for 28 minutes or an hour or 35 minutes while you're taking pictures. You will not have a sensor left. Even if it looks like it's still taking pictures, eventually it will stop. Or you'll just get blobs or something, or dark spots, or it'll stop working altogether. It cannot handle that kind of radiation for any length of time. Remember, there is a lens, a very small lens, but there is a lens on that camera, and that lens is focusing that light in. So if you, Jesus, how many times am I going to hit this today? So you need a special ND filter. You can actually get I was going to say solar flare. I can't even remember what you call it again now. A solar eclipse filter for cameras. But yeah, you can do an ND filter as long as it's not variable, because you could accidentally twist it. You don't want that. But it has to be, I've read 16 stop. I don't know that it really needs to be 16 stop, because you don't necessarily need to keep your camera on it for that length of time. You could take a picture, block it, take a picture, block it, take a picture, block it. Mine, I think, is... Actually, I think mine's more than 16 stops, to be honest with you. So I really can't say much. I do have a very dark one, but I'm going to have a DIY. What I'm going to do is, mine is this big. It'll cover all three cameras, which means I'll be able to use all three cameras if I want, with the ND yeah. filter taking up about that much of a diameter. So I'm going to tape it here and here and just very gently hold it on one edge so I can take the picture with my volume button. And that is a perfect DIY thing. That'll work with anybody's phone if you can get your hands on one like that. If you can only get a smaller filter, because they're less expensive and easier to find, you can still do it. Just make sure you know which camera lens you want to cover. And again, you can just tape it on there and make sure it stays on there while the sun is shining. And you could take it off when it's in totality and just take a picture of the sun. It is also possible to take a 3 to 5 second long exposure in totality with the ND filter on, which is the only reason I would ever do that, of the sun, of course, with the big dark filter on it. And that might actually work. Actually, probably only be 1 or, you know, maybe 2 or 3 seconds at the most, because the sun moves and the corona will still be bright. But it, yeah, and it if should you make
GoPro,
nice picture.
GoPro, they sell the lens that you can put on the front. So you
yeah,
can,
but don't you shoot. Don't shoot nothing with no go. Don't shoot. No stinking.
No, if that's all you got, you can still use it.
What do you, yeah, but you're still going to get nothing but a pin. Do not shoot. I have to implore you, do not shoot an eclipse with a GoPro. Because
if you have, that's all you have and you want to film it, and go for it.
And if you crop it in, you've got the worst possible. No definition whatsoever. It is so horrible. You're better off to use the cheapest cell phone you can get your hands on and crop it even. I mean that from the bottom of my heart as a photographer. Do not take a picture with any kind of equipment attached to it, a GoPro of an eclipse. Don't do it. It just looks terrible. Horrible. It's not worth it. Phones. Cell phones work much better. Even if it's an older cell phone, you can still use these tricks and you can still get a decent result. If you have manual controls, or if you can get your hands on a app that allows you to do manual controls, if your phone doesn't natively have it, that's even better, because you can, you know, check the ISO and shutter speed and set it to whatever you need to set it for to make sure it works perfectly fine. So that's my safety tips. That I think was extremely necessary. Extremely necessary. I got to make sure that everyone does this right, doesn't go blind, and doesn't ruin their $1,000 phones or $5,000 cameras or whatever. So everyone enjoy that can enjoy. And if you can't, just remember to beg all your friends and family that are in the path of totality to send you the pictures and or videos. I'm sure I'm going to be pestered for some. Although somebody didn't share any of their pictures with me some years ago of their experience.
Yeah, but some years ago, I don't know that I even knew that you were into photography then, to be honest with you.
What, really?
I don't recall.
We're talking about the Google Plus days here, man. I mean, this is 7 years ago. We were both using the first Pixel. Yeah, Google Plus, and we had Pixels. Everybody knew we were into photography, period. But anyways, I digress. I was just bugging you. Bottom line is, take your pictures, have fun. If you can't, if you get a chance to watch some video from NASA or any other astronomical society that's got some YouTube video of it, And there'll probably be lots and lots of content creators who will put their pictures and videos up on YouTube. What do you call that other one? Not TikTok. Twitter. I'm having a heck of a day. What is it called? Instagram. Put their pictures on Instagram. That's what it's for, right? Instagram.
Yes.
There'll be thousands. There'll be hundreds of thousands of pictures of the eclipse on Instagram, way more than the 2017, because it's going clear across the United States from Texas all the way through New York and into part of Canada, Southern Ontario, Quebec, and Maritime provinces. And I'm actually getting notifications on my computer right now that I'm 4 days away from the eclipse.
I just shared that 2017 album with you, so you can look at it when we're
done. Okay. So you finally did it. You know what? If you have a really good one, should we put it up here?
I'd have to look through it. I don't know that I have
55
time.
55 minute. If we do, we'll put it at the 56 minute mark.
You have access to the folder.
Well, yeah, so but I'm not going to share your picture on here.
Feel free to take one and put it in the edit.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. Why not? Okay. In the meantime and in between time, this is a video, just so you know, it's pre-recorded. Obviously the audio, same audio. It's actually Wednesday when we're recording this right now. We want to make sure that this is out, I believe, Friday. If we have it out tomorrow, Thursday, it will be. But if you're listening to it and it's Friday, that's fine. The bottom line is everything that we mentioned about the eclipse, for the safety glasses and the tips on how to shoot with a phone. If you weren't aware of this already and you know anyone that wants to do these things, share that information, please. Google it. Make sure you get everything you can. Your eyes are safe. Safety of your eyes is important, is what I'm trying to say. In the meantime, yes, we really got to get going because we got 1 minute or less.
1 minute. Here.
I am not even joking. Sorry. I'm reading it wrong. It's actually 3 minutes. It's not as much of a hurry as I thought. So we'll let Robert read us out.
Thanks for watching. And I'm Robert with the United States. And we will catch you on the next episode. Lionel?
You have a good one.